always appreciate the fact that we know that God is faithful. And if he's faithful to us, we are duty-bound, I believe, to be faithful to him. The book of Galatians, chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1, it says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 6. Paul goes on to say, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. For though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than which you have received, let him be accursed. Verse number 11. But I certify, Paul says, you brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. I didn't receive it from a man, but I received it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you today. We are thankful to be together with those that are online, everybody, everywhere. God, open those floodgates of heaven and pour out your Spirit. Begin to draw men to you. Help us, God, to be sensitive in the Holy Ghost, sensitive to your Spirit, God, as we go about our everyday lives. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This afternoon, I want to preach to you a message titled, A Certified Gospel. A Certified Gospel. We would start today in the book of Acts, chapter 2, where you will find both the biblical and the historical account of the great outpouring of God's Spirit upon his people. As most of us know, pretty much all of us know, that this great historical occurrence all started with 120 disciples who were in an upper room. Just as God had promised, he filled them all with the Holy Ghost and with the fire. Their commission after the death of Jesus Christ was to go and to tarry in Jerusalem until. Sometimes I believe that it's we as a people of God who in our own personal lives, in our own personal prayer, should be the ones to tarry until. It was on that eventful day as the 120 spilled out onto the streets of Jerusalem, and the multitudes, the Bible said, were gathered together. We find Peter and those standing before him were not only just the remaining 120, but before him stood what I believe to be a captivated audience as Peter declared to the people God's full salvation plan. The book of Acts chapter 2, the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse number 14, you find where it was Peter standing up with the 11 other disciples. He lifted up his voice and he said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. It was in his speech that Peter went on to condemn the people for their having had killed their Lord and their Christ by causing the Romans to be the ones to nail Jesus upon a cross. And from there we find Peter in the book of Acts, chapter 2, and verse 37 and 38, as the people cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? And in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it was there that Peter declared to them all the multitude to repent, to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It was on that day that 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom of God, and it was as the disciples who then went about proclaiming the Great Commission and the message of salvation to all of the people. And all those that gave heed to this apostolic message were those who became the recipients of God's apostolic power, as it was they who were baptized in Jesus' name and who were filled with the Holy Ghost. As this message of God's salvation church and the miracles along with the signs that followed There was one obstacle that the disciples came up against throughout their travels. It was constant. It was a constant bombardment. Thank you. I got my tongue caught there. The bombardment of opposition. Man, those whose hearts were contrary to this truth. They were the ones who challenged the disciples stand on the name of Jesus Christ and the call for the people to pursue holiness and separation from their sinful world. It was they who went about seeking to throw doubt and also confusion into the hearts of those who now in their lives had begun to see their need to be baptized in Jesus' name, along with their diligently seeking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And today, it's some 2,000 plus years removed from that great and eventful time of biblical history. I want you to know that this attack against God's truth has not ceased in the realm of our modern world. But as we, the church of today, just like the apostles in their day, who are the ones who come under a constant attack of the fires of resistance, as it is we who teach and preach the message of God's full salvation plan, as it is we who declare the necessity of coming out from the bondage of the sin that their lives are living in through true repentance and the need of every soul being baptized in Jesus' name according to the Bible. And the fact that without a person receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost evidenced by their speaking in an unknown tongue, as it is God who gives them the utterance, it will be they along with anyone else who is not born of the water and of the Spirit who cannot see and will not be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. John chapter 3 verses 3 through 5 in the account of Nicodemus, it was Jesus who told them, if you are not born of the water and are born of the Spirit, you will not see it. You will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. What Jesus was really declaring that day was that there is one way, there's one truth, and there's one life. Then in the book of Matthew 16:24, the book of Mark chapter 8 and 34, and Luke chapter 9 and 23, it is Jesus Christ, church himself, who declares, if any man will come after me, let him let him take up his cross and then follow me. If you're going to come after me, you need to take up your cross. You need to deny yourself and follow me. The book of Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. It is Luke who writes, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The church, it's because of this preaching of the cross along with the stand that we as a church of the 21st century take against sin and the evil effects of a sinful world, that it is and has always been Satan who raises up people, those in opposition to this apostolic faith. Those who cease not in their unrelenting attack and their bid to tear down and also to minimize this certified gospel. I want you to know that that it is they who declare a lie that says, you don't have to live this way. You don't have to come out from among the ungodly things of this world and just to cleave to the God who has delivered your soul from the devil's hell, whose deception has taken the hearts of many. You don't have to do that. That's really not necessary. The greatest deception that has and really has been introduced into this world is the lie that says it doesn't matter what you do, where you go, how you live, etc. And that God is a God of grace and God really doesn't care about the manner in which we as God's people in our lives live. It doesn't really matter. I want you to know today it does matter. There is an importance on how we as a people in this world represent God. How we as a people today represent our Savior, the one that went to the cross and died on Calvary's Hill. It does matter with what we do and where we go. Because if it was true with what they say, then my question is, why then did Jesus Christ himself declare in the book of Matthew chapter 7 Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Are we on the broad way, or are we on the straight way? Again, Jesus declares in the book of Matthew chapter 7, this time verse 21, he says, "Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." If it did or did not matter, then I don't believe Jesus Christ would have had that recorded in the Gospels for us to read. If it really didn't matter on how we lived or what we did or where we went or who we associated with. But I believe that it emphatically is Jesus Christ, God become flesh, who's coming back. He's coming back, church, for a holy people. He's coming back for those who seek to live a holy lifestyle, who set their heavenly compass from their reading the Holy Bible. Those who one day are looking to enter into a holy heaven to be forever with a holy God. For those whose false perception of what it is that Jesus Christ will look for in their lives of the redeemed, surely it will be more than just a people who in their lives who loosely declare that they just believe. "Well, I just believe, and I think that's good enough. I'll live any way I want. I'll go anywhere I want. I'll do whatever I want. I just believe." You see, it is in this 21st century in which we are living that more than ever before in the history of the world, that the proclaiming of this gospel message, this certified gospel, a gospel message that it is becoming one of the hardest things for we as a church, and even I as a pastor who preaches truth, to try to do. To do what? To preach it. To preach it the way the Bible declares that this gospel message and salvation to be. So, well, why is that? Well, because more and more it's our religious freedoms, church, as if they are being stripped along with our religious rights are being taken away from us. What is that in? I'll tell you what that's in the name of tolerance. Because of the fact of those who, in the name of religion, are those who go about proclaiming to the people of our world false doctrines full of lies and hypocrisy. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 5. The book of Matthew chapter 24 and verse 5, it was Jesus who warned even they in his day about that there would come among them they saying, "I am Christ," and would deceive many. Many people are going to walk down that broad way. Many people are going to go down that garden path, not towards heaven, but towards their destruction. You see, preaching a gospel that calls for all to separate themselves from an evil world, and to avoid their getting involved with those whose lives are contrary to what it is that Jesus Christ in his word declares as being right, is one day what will become that will become known as hate speech, maybe even illegal in its content. You can't tell me that I'm living in sin. You can't tell me that adultery is wrong. You can't tell me that doing drugs and living immorally is wrong. You can't say that what I do in my life and where I go in my life is wrong. That's hate speech. That's wrong. It should be illegal for you to tell me that I got to repent of my sins. All I got to do is believe. No, you got to repent. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name. You need to seek the Holy Ghost, speaking in an unknown tongue. You got to live a godly and a holy life. See, it was the Apostle Paul who in his own day, 2,000 plus years ago, who called out to the people. This is right after the day of Pentecost. This is a short time after the duration of 3,000 and many other thousands coming to Christ. He said, "Why marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel?" I believe what had begun to occur back then is what it is that's beginning, and really for some time now it has occurred in our day, that people are not looking for a certified, a qualified, and endorsed by God declared gospel. One that has not only teeth, but truth and a promise that comes with it. I don't want that kind of a gospel that calls for sacrifice. I'm not looking for that gospel that tells me I've got to deny my own self, take up my cross in order to follow Christ.
See, in Paul's day, with the infiltration of Satan's lies, the continuation of the sowing of false doctrine, even under this day, it's now people who are flocking to the churches that offer to them the easy way, the broad way, rather than submitting themselves to a certified gospel of Jesus Christ. What does it say in the Bible? Don't read the Bible. What does it say in God's Word? Well, that is the Bible. I don't want to read that because it tells me to change. It tells me to surrender myself. It tells me to submit my life to Jesus Christ. Today, I'm not up here telling you that time and seasons have not changed. It's changed a lot from the way it was back in the Apostles' day. And I'm not saying to you today that with technology of our day, that we need to remain in the Stone Ages church as far as the advancement is concerned in our lives. I'm not telling you that, but what it is that I'm standing here declaring to all of you today is the fact that God's message, God's truth, along with God's word, will be that which never will change. He said, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never pass away. It's not going to change because of the time of the seasons. It's not going to change because of a generation. I don't care if you're X, Z, P, or H, or Y. It doesn't matter what generation you are. The Word of God is the Word of God. The truth is the truth, and it never changes. No matter how society and false religions of our world seek to water down the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want to go on record today, just like the Apostle Paul, to declare to you one and all that the gospel which we preach is a certified gospel, one that carries within it eternal qualities to all who would venture to surrender their lives to. For me, it was 38 years. For others, it was 50 years. For some, it might be 15 or 20 years. For some, it might even be less a time or a longer time than that. But when we came to the knowledge of the truth, when we realized that we were living in sin and that our lives needed to change, we came to the understanding that where we were going was not the direction our eternity should be set upon. When we knelt at an altar, we felt the power of God begin to flow and forgiveness to enter into our soul. We went down to that watery grave in baptism, and we rose to walk in a newness of life, that a freshness and a whole new understanding of a concept of our lives and our life livelihood and where we should go and what we should do was absolutely changed. And I've seen it again and again in the lives of people, those who walked in from a world of sin, those who walked in from messed up pasts and families and directives that they had taken in their life. They surrendered their lives to this gospel. They knelt upon their knees and asked for God to forgive them, and they rose in a changed fashion, now heading towards heaven. See, this heritage, the gospel message that's been passed on down to we the church in these end times, is a gospel that every apostolic believer in their lives needs to be the one to contend for that faith that was once delivered unto the saints. No, it's not changed. No, it's not going to change. In concerns to, I preached last week to you, and I had mentioned how that, you know, I'm preaching content to a majority, if not all of us, who have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, been baptized in Jesus' name, and repented of our sins. We're living, I hope we are living, really, a holy life, a godly life in this present world. But the reason that I want to preach this to you today is because it seems and it looks very clear that our world is growing darker. People's hearts, both in the church and in the world, are what are growing colder as people are looking for ways to compromise God's certified gospel. They won't allow anything to go unchecked in concerns to holiness and righteousness, separation from a world filled with sin. And see, if it is I and you who do not defend and uphold this apostolic truth found in God's word, and if we as a people do not guard against that of ourselves falling prey to the lie of the devil of a watered-down, compromised gospel, then it's going to be this gospel, God's salvation plan, along with we as God's people who one day will wake up to really discover that what we stood for now only exists as a dream. I've been around long enough, and I've seen enough this far to know that there's a lot of shaking going on, that there's a lot of people dropping the landmarks they had set in their life. They're widening them, or they're taking them completely out of the way. I've been around long enough to understand that the direction that this world is going in, the way the devil wants to take the people, God's people in, is not towards heaven's gate, but it's towards the devil's hell. I've seen enough in my own life, in my 38 years of living for God, that if we don't stand for this, if we don't hold firm to this, if we don't stay staunch in what we believe and say, you know what, there is no other way, there's no other truth, there's no other life, then it's going to become a dream. It's going to drift away. And people are going to say, well, we used to believe that, and we used to do that, and that used to be necessary, but it seems to be not necessary anymore. And that's why I'm the one that's declaring to you this day that it is we who must, as a church of the living God, who continue to proclaim, pardon me, and to preach this apostolic doctrine, the salvation message. And at all costs, it must be those who refuse in their lives to settle for anything less than a certified gospel of Jesus Christ. We had sold my wife's mom's medical bed to a lady, and she said in their apartment building they had people come. Every week they were having discussions about the Word of God and the Bible, and she said that was until the fight started. And it kind of got your attention. Yeah, people were contrary to what was being said, and they'd start picking fights with one another, and I think the thing ended up being broke up. Really never got that far. But are we going to fight for what we believe? Are we going to stand for this truth? Well, you don't have to believe. Okay, well, whatever you want to believe is fine with me. That's not fine with me. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one truth, and there's only one life. And if you're not on that ship, you're sailing in the wrong direction. I want you to know that there's only one Lord. Would you say that with me today? One Lord. There's only one faith. One faith. There's only one baptism. So there's only one way, truth, life. There's only one God in heaven, and His name is Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter how they slice it or dice it, that's the way it is. It's a certified gospel. You know, in the world, we used to use the term, you can put up, or excuse the expression, you can shut up. I got proof in the pudding. I can show you what the Bible says and prove it to be true. Well, everybody says they can do that. Yeah, let's put it to the test of that salvation call. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 24. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, Jesus says that there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. They shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that it were possible. You want to hear this? It were possible they would deceive the very elect. Who are they going to deceive? The blood-bought, the blood-washed. Those of us that believe this doctrine, this truth. If it were possible, are you going down the wrong road? Oh, you think I am? I know I'm not. And I've heard people say before, well, you know, Pastor, I'm secure. I know what I believe in. Well, you better hope and pray that you are. Because 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's turn there today. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm secure. I know what I believe. Okay, listen to this. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Listen to me today, church. We are living in the last days. We are living in these end times. And it's our Bible that declares in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, they're going to continue to arise those who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. From such, turn away. I don't want a watered-down gospel. I don't want easy believism. I don't want to be sold out to a lie. I don't want just a form of godliness. I want the power of God unto salvation in my life. As for me in my house, I'm never going to settle for anything less than the certified gospel. See, it's an erroneous doctrine in our day that says, well, just accept him. You know, just receive him. And then all I have to do, you know, there's no life change. There's no conscience change. There's no other kind of change in your life. You know, just believe. And that's all you got to do. Well, I stand before you again to tell you boldly that it does. It doesn't matter who you've accepted or who you've said that you've received or what kind of prayer you might have prayed in your life. According to the Bible, God's Word, the certified gospel, you still need to repent of your sins, be baptized in Jesus' name, and be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. You still need to live a holy and a godly life in this present world as much as lies within you. And the message that's coming across this pulpit today is not one that speaks against a person's desire to turn from their sin-filled life in order for you to seek to live a life for God, but instead it's this message that not only stands upon, but is one that declares to you without a doubt the fact that we and I are the ones who will contend for this certified gospel. As it is I who seeks this day, I want to stir up your minds, and whose my desire is to awaken you, to reawaken your hearts, to cause you to be diligent about your faith. Don't just take down something. I talked to somebody I know very, very close to me and my family, and they said, oh, you know, it doesn't matter. I said, Mom, it does matter. Oh, you know, whatever they want to believe, that's okay with me. And I said, it's not okay. That's not what the Bible teaches. I want to be diligent. I want to stand there and say, you know what, I'm not going to accept compromise. I'm not going to accept that watered down junk. I'm not going to drift off the shores that are leading me towards heaven. But as these days will grow darker and people's hearts will continue to stray from thus saith the Lord, it's going to be the truth of God's word that will be both bought and sold on every hand. They're going to sell it, church. They're going to sell it out. And if it's not you in your life who's not careful in retaining this certified gospel, it might become you who'll be likened unto a river whose banks of constant wearing away. Think of this. A river goes, it flows, and the banks are on each side. And over time, erosion hits, and the water keeps going against it, and the banks just kind of widen. It used to be a strong, raging river that was narrow and straight. But boy, the banks have widened. Is that what we're going to be living like in this last day? The book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. There is only one chapter of Jude. Here's a stern warning in the Word of God. Jude chapter 1, the only chapter, verses 5 through 7. The writer writes, I therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, and in the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example of suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Well, I was saved. I am saved. Well, you better do everything you can do to stay saved. You better hang on to this certified doctrine, this gospel of Jesus Christ. As we round the corner, church, you might wonder, well, what does this message have to do with me? With you? What is that? Really? What does it have to do with us? I'll tell you what it has to do with you. It has everything to do with you. For when it's Satan who tries to fill your mind or your heart with his lies, seeking to cause you to waver, to drift away from the moorings of the certified gospel, well, it'll never happen. I'll tell you today, it is happening. It's happening in the Pentecostal ranks. It's happening in churches, even in our own province of British Columbia, drifting away from their moorings of the certified gospel. I want you to know that in such a time it is, in fact, it must be you who stands up and who's prepared to fight for this one God apostolic gospel of Jesus Christ. You got to stand for what you believe. You got to hang on to the truth of God's word, declaring, I'm not coming down. I'm not giving in. I'm not going to turn back from the gospel that I first received. In these days prior to Jesus' return, it very well may be we, church, as a people of God, who one day might be forced to stand up for what we claim to be nothing other than God's truth. What would you do? You know, you can read in the Fox's Book of Martyrs way back in the turn of the old century, history gone by. Deny God or we'll kill you, kill your family one at a time. Deny God or we'll shoot you, we'll throw you off this bridge. Deny God. What are you going to do? The day may come when you're going to have to stand up. Do you believe that Jesus is God? Yeah. I ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus is God? Do you know there's a scripture in the Bible that says, don't you fear him who can kill the body, but fear ye him who can take your body and your soul and cast it into hell. I asked this one guy one time, he goes, well, what if we have to give our life for Christ? And I said, well, I'll ask you a question. How many times can they kill you? He laughed at me and he goes, oh, they can only kill me once. All right. So after they killed you, they can't do nothing more. But you deny him in this world, he'll deny you in that world to come. You turn from the truth in this world, you won't have the truth in that world to come. A certified gospel, as it is Satan who seeks to tighten his grip upon the lives of those who are God's. He's not going to stop until Satan will attempt to take from you. Hear this now. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but you better believe this. He's not going to stop until he tries to take the truth that you have, the truth that you in your life have got to hold on to until Jesus Christ comes back for his church, for his bride. I got to hang on to this. Well, I'm going to hang on to this. Let's put the fire up. Let's turn the coals up. Let's just put the pressure on you. What are you going to believe? As Sister Zossman comes today, the Apostle Paul writes in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. Paul writes, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I'm not wavering. We're not moving. We're not letting it down. Let's stand together. The songwriter writes the song, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, and I'm going to sing it everywhere I go.
You mean you go to church?
Yep.
What church you go? You go to that church?
Yep.
Why do you go to that church? Because they preach the certified gospel. They preach the truth.
To the word of God that speaks and one that we preach and proclaim to all is nothing shy, church, of the certified gospel. I can put it up. I can put it to the test. I can show you, and you could just take like the recipe in your soul and apply it to your life, and God will change you. Why don't we stop for maybe a moment today? And just lift up our hands,
yes,
and our voices
Lord,
unto God.
Let's
thank God,
Lord,
for the opportunity that what we receive is not a lie. What we believe
Jesus,
is not watered down. What we have.